It's your daily dose of Donna. Welcome to the show. Today we have, today is Thursday, March 28th. We've made it to Thursday. And you know what they say about Thursday? Let me just scoot this chair out of the way. You know what they say about Thursday? It's almost Friday. So that makes me a happy gal. You guys, we have a big show today. So many stories. We have a divorce. We have a new cast announced. And we have a cast returning to one of our favorites. We've got all this drama on Beverly Hills, in Beverly Hills, and then, of course, over the hill in the valley, plus more, all on today's Daily Dose of Donna. Hey guys, welcome to the show. Number one, before we get started, I just want to take a moment to say thank you so much for everyone that subscribed to yesterday's Patreon. It was filled with good insight info. Listen, even when I'm not there, I'm there. Luckily, I have some people in different circles that give me some good scoop. So it was fun to share that all with you. And we also talked about, the P. Diddy world and the J-Lo and the Andrew Huberman. And then, of course, the Jeff and Heather stuff. So it was fun to chat about that. I love reading your comments. And the Patreon community is just special to me. It feels just a little bit more... You know, it's like when you have a big holiday party and you invite everyone you've ever met and it's like a big banger. And then you have like a smaller get together, a little intimate dinner party. That's what Patreon feels to me. It feels like my smaller, intimate, dinner party. I love it over there. So you guys, we have so much to talk about today. I didn't get into the Valley yesterday, so we're going to talk about the Valley. I hope you guys all had a chance to watch it. Plus some other big stories that popped along my desk. In the news, the desk of Donna Bowling. Before we get into it, let's talk about our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. So if you are aware, we just passed our daylight savings. And what's the first thing that you would do if you had an extra hour in your day? Maybe you would go for a run. Maybe you would go for a nap. Maybe you would go out and get sushi and sake. Take a yoga class like I did this morning. Cook? Whatever. Maybe TikToks. Maybe you would start creating TikTok content. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. And the question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? So, I love therapy. I talk about it all the time. Right now I'm in a position where I'm going to therapy once every 2 weeks, but I also do all kinds of other, self-help type things. I love listening to good books and interesting things that teach me about who I am as a person and the patterns that I kind of keep repeating in my life. Do you guys have those patterns that kind of probably start when you're a child and then they just keep repeating? BetterHelp is a great way for you to incorporate therapy into your life without feeling like you have to go out of your way, drive, spend a lot of money. And some people feel a little uncomfortable in person. So it's great. You can do it over the phone. You can do it via online video, but it's convenient, it's flexible, and suited to your schedule. So learn how to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Donna, D-A-N-A, today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Donna. Okay, so let's get into the first story. I wrote down all the stories that I have because there's a plenty of them. Before I get into some of the breaking, well, I guess this is kind of breaking news. Real Housewives of Real Housewives of New York season 15 has been announced. We have officially gotten an announcement. We have it's actually a really cute, let me pull it up. I know Bravo posted it. It's a cute little reel of the ladies kind of announcing it. I'm going to pull it up for you guys right now, and you can hear it if you're just listening to the show. But I think they're very sweet. And I actually really like this cast. I know we all had our thoughts about a few of them, but that makes a good reality show. Here, take a look at the announcement.
So, is it there?
I'm already listening to me. It's there.
I don't know if it's there.
Well, I heard it's really close.
Guys, I'm telling you, it's there.
Honestly, I think I'm going to be the one who has to dispel the rumors because season 15, it's there.
Amazing news, girl. It's really up and coming.
Okay. So this is such cute news. It was a great announcement. And also, I find it really interesting that the whole cast is coming back. And I'll tell you why. I had heard through my source that Dave Quinn. Oh, okay. That was a live moment, right? I'm going to just say that I heard many things about casting, and I'm so excited about this cast. I think that the fact that all of them are coming back, I think the most of us thought that Jenna Lyons wasn't going to come back because she's been so MIA and she's kind of talked a little crap. It's been like kind of Bethany hinting. And then also she liked Leah McSweeney's post going after Andy Cohen. Remember that? So that's surprising to me that Jenna Lyons is back. They probably are paying her a hefty amount. Sai was the other one that we did not think was 100% going to come back because she really didn't get a good first season. Remember, her edit was just bad. Every single thing she ever said the entire episodes, every episode was, I'm hungry, when are we eating? Obviously, I had a strong hunch that Erin Leachy was going to be back because she does all the rounds of promotion. I love Erin. That's just my, my moment. And then Jessel, you know how much we love Jessel, but really, is Pavitt going to be back? Because he is Jessel's husband, and he was the sleeper. At the beginning, we were kind of like, this guy's a jerk. And then we all fell in love with him. And if you follow him on Instagram, he is so funny. He's so good. He writes these, or he does these videos about like different food. He's like a foodie, right? Remember, he went to Hong Kong or whatever, Vietnam, just for Miles. And he said, I'm just going to go get a banh mi and come back. I loved it. Okay. So, and then who else is on the show? Bryn, of course, such a star, really, honestly, Bryn is a great, person for that show. And Uba, I mean, it's really a genius cast. It's a very, very well-rounded, diverse cast. Like, you really have people from all walks of life on that show. You have, all ethnicities, religions, like sexual orientations. Like, I love it. I love that show. I love the fact that we have, you know, moms and then single women and a gay woman. And like, I think it's just such a representation of the melting pot that is the United States, or at least New York City. I can't wait to see season two. I do believe that for them to give a second season to anyone is so smart. Like, no matter what the first season edit is, unless you have like an awful season and you're just not dynamic. But everyone says that follows Sai, because she was really the one that I thought was on the cutting room floor. Everyone says that the people that follow her as an influencer, they love her content online. So she must have some really great stuff to show, and she just didn't have the chance to do that. So I'm so happy that they get a second season. I'm not entirely sure when that's going to come and air, but that is good news for me. All right, let's go to another Selling Sunset article came in to everyone's faces yesterday. And I thought, oh my gosh, obviously, if it's a Selling Sunset article, it's about Christine Quinn and her now, I mean, I would imagine ex that just got arrested. But no, this is about Selling Sunset's Chelsea Lazkani. And I'm probably saying her last name wrong, Lazkani. She files for divorce from her husband, Jeff, after 7 years of marriage. If you kind of remember, she was the one that she's British. She is beautiful, but like high fashion, like very everything she wore, and all of those Selling Sunset women, you know, go over the top in their clothing and what they wear. But if you remember, she's very, you know, she. And she's married to kind of like a, I don't remember what he does for a living, but it never really felt like it matched for me. I think just the annoying thing about her is she went really hard on Brie this last season, who shares a baby with Nick Cannon. And she was really judgy about the fact that she and Nick had a baby out of wedlock. But meanwhile, it's working really well for her and Nick Cannon from what we're seeing and what we're hearing. So I don't like when it's like very much glass houses, throw stones. Like, and I find this to be true, and probably it kind of comes off in my show sometimes too, in my words. A lot of times there's a projection that we have, right? And we may not be really aware of it at the time, but I notice this, that a lot of times when people, you know, it's that doubt, that thou protest too much or whatever. When someone is struggling with something in their own life, a lot of times they project it onto, you know, judging someone else. So I wonder if it was a little bit of that, because she obviously was not in a happy marriage for them to divorce. That's my guess. They're claiming irreconcilable differences, which, by the way, every time I think of that word, irreconcilable, is it irreconcilable differences? Was that the name of the movie with Drew Barrymore when she was a kid and she was divorcing her parents? Please tell me that you guys are like aware of what this movie is. This irreconcilable differences. Yeah, 1984. This is one of my favorite movies, and it's so sad. Irreconcilable Differences was a movie in 1984 starring Drew Barrymore, and Shelley Long was her mother, and her father was Ryan O'Neal. Whoa. I feel like I need to like rewatch this movie now. I don't know why in the world I was watching this movie as a child. But essentially, this is about a girl, that's Drew Barrymore, who basically sues both of her parents for emancipation. And it's not really a comedy. Like, I'm surprised that I watched it, because it was actually really sad. Her parents were like going through their own shit, and she sued them. Oh my gosh, you guys know it. I'm going to have, like, let me see what I can show you in terms of pictures. It was such an incredible movie, and it was so sad. But basically her parents, and I don't remember if one of them was like an actor, I think. And they were so obsessed with themselves that they like forgot about their kid. Casey Brodsky has decided to divorce her parents and have her nanny, Maria Hernandez, appointed as Casey's legal guardian. It results in media attention, and her parents, Albert and Lucy Brodsky, are both brought out of their respective self-absorbed lives and made to testify in court about their personal lives. Jeez, you guys, I need to watch it again. I don't know why that just like got to me. Now, this, oh, wow, it did very well. It made $12 million in the 80s. That's a pretty good movie. I remember watching this movie and just feeling so just connected to Drew Barrymore. Maybe Drew Barrymore, maybe that's why, you know, I have such a weird childhood, because I think I was Drew Barrymore or something. I mean, my mom let me watch the craziest movies. Ray says, why did our parents let us watch these movies? Oh my God, Andrew. Andrew says Kyle Richards and Portia are doing the remake. I feel like I was so like, I thought I was Drew Barrymore, because my dad was never around and my mom was like a busy working mom and also was like very much into her own life with her boyfriends and stuff. Let's do a watch party of Irreconcilable Differences. Okay. Jeez, what a tangent that was. Anyway, back to Selling Sunset. Chelsea has, you know, filed for divorce. After 7 years, they have two children together, Maddox, Ali, Lavon, Lascani, and Malia, Iman, Lascani. They're 5 and 3. Oh, he's a managing partner at an advertising agency called Icon Media Group. She's obviously a celebrity real estate agent. And it says in a since deleted Instagram post before their wedding, months before their wedding, Chelsea revealed it was Jeff who kept her from leaving the United States to go back to London where she grew up. Yeah, I mean, look, if this is, I don't know specifically what caused them to actually, you know, sue each other, but I mean, divorce each other, but it happens all the time. And especially I find it happens if a man or a woman keeps the other person, and I don't mean just men and women, if one person in a relationship or a marriage holds the other person back in any way, whether it's like, you can't take that job, you can't do that thing, you can't go back to that place, you know, holds them back in any capacity, there's going to be resentment that builds. Like, there's no question that there's going to be resentment that builds. So I find it really interesting that people think that these things go away. I've seen this in so many different marriages falling apart, just like in personal life. If someone gets married under the guise of like, yeah, I guess I will live in this city just to be married to you. And then their whole marriage, they just, all they want to do is go back home. Or like, I wish that, you know, I could practice my religion more. So just say someone's like a really devout Catholic or something and goes to mass and wants to go to church every Sunday, but then they have kids and their husband doesn't want to do that, is an atheist. And they say, okay, you know, I love him and I want to marry him, so I will just push my Catholicism to the side. And then they have kids and they're like, wow, I'm not raising my kids the way I wanted to raise them. You start to build that resentment. So it's really interesting how people think maybe those things go away. And I don't think they go away. I think they just get stronger and stronger through marriage. And when you have kids, you start to really realize, like, do I want that for my kids, right? I'm just like throwing a lot of stuff. And by the way, I know I just talked about projection. That's not the case with Lance and I. Lance and I do not have that marriage. Thank the Lord. But Lance has never held me back from trying to do anything that I wanted to do for the most part, except starting OnlyFans. You know, Lance, college is expensive. And I have really been wanting to start an over 40 OnlyFans, okay? And my content will literally just be me and fans. Like, it will be me and box fans that Kathy Hilton has taken from home to home. I just want me and, I mean, why can't that be my OnlyFans content? It's just me and fans. It's me and OnlyFans, but I'm fully dressed. And then I just talk into them. Remember those, like, ASMRs on TikToks when you would go to them and they'd be like, okay, so you're going to. So it's just going to be me and fans, and I'll just be like singing into them. Am I okay today? I'm concerned. I am concerned about myself. I listen to The Toast almost every single day. You know, I love those girls. Shout out Girl With No Job, Claudia and Jackie Oshry. I love them so much. But they go on to such crazy tangents. And I realize that I actually really appreciate and enjoy their tangents. So now that I think about it, for all of you guys out there that are like, get to the next story, I'm like, maybe this show is not for you. Ray is wondering if I took a gummy. At some point in my life, I have, but not today. If I took a gummy, I would be having a panic attack right now. You guys would be walking me through my panic attack. You'd be calming me down. So no gummy here. Next story. Oh my gosh, I'm giddy today. Next story, House of Villains. House of Villains has officially announced their second season, and I think a lot of us had an idea of who was going to be on House of Villains, but now it's official that we have a few people, and I don't know if you guys will know all these people, but I definitely don't know all of them. I love how these shows take different reality stars from different shows. This is giving Traitors, But this is like the villain style of traitors, which really traitors should be the villain style too. This includes Richard Hatch. He's the first ever Survivor winner. The Challenges three-time champion, Wes Bergman. If you know CT and Johnny Bananas from The Challenge, you're going to know Wes. We have Tiffany Pollard from, I hope I'm saying her last name right, Tiffany New York Pollard from, I guess she was on season one and she left early. I didn't see season one of House of Villains. Do I need to add that to my rotation? There's also going to be people from Big Brother, The Bachelor, RuPaul's Drag Race, and The Real Housewives. But most importantly, we have Teresa Giudice, Real Housewives of New Jersey. From Big Brother, we have a man, Jesse Godders. I don't know Jesse. I don't think I watched that season. We have Victoria Larson from The Bachelor. Again, I didn't watch that. Larissa Lima and her friends. I mean, from 90 Day Fiance. Whoa, mama. We have Candy Muse from RuPaul's Drag Race, Camilla Poindexter from Bad Girls Club, Tiffany New York from Flavor of Love. I'm definitely going to say this wrong. Safari from Love and Hip Hop. It's Safari, but it's spelled differently. It's S-A-F-A-R-E-E, Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. And I think that's it. I've never seen a more random cast. Like, Teresa really does not fit into this cast in any capacity. Okay, Leslie's into my OnlyFans channel, by the way. I just got one subscriber. Leslie says, I think I'm obsessed with the idea of an OnlyFans channel just showing different kinds of fans. I bet if you charge like $2, so many would sign up for the novelty, you'd get rich. You guys, I'm doing it. Do you have to show your body on OnlyFans, or can it just be like any sort of subscription content? I could actually purchase fans and like sell them through my, like a TikTok shop. This is an OnlyFans subscription, and I will tell you the best fan. I'll put it in front of the blow factor. This one blows a 9. This is so good. Okay, House of Villains. So we'll see if we watch it. I have no interest. You guys may have to watch it for me. Now, I told you that The Goat is a new reality show that Reza's in, Kristen Doty, Jill Zarin, a few different recognizable people are on it, and I just got those screeners. So that airs sometime, I think, in May. I will definitely be watching that. And then also Lisa Vanderpump's new show, Vanderpump Villa, that airs, I want to say April 1st. And remember, I have the screener, so I've watched only one episode. I need to catch up. Billy keeps asking what my skincare secrets are. So I do have a little bit of a glow and a little bit of a tan. Here's what I'm doing. And I promise you, this is what I'm doing. So in the morning, when I, you know, shower, get ready, whatever, I put on a little bit of I put a little serum or whatever, a little oil, but then I take, and you can buy this from e.l.f. Cosmetics, or you can buy it from a little bit more expensive is the, it's not called Goop. What's the sunscreen? The tinted sunscreen that you buy at like Ulta, and it's really, really nice. The brand is Super Goop. I knew it was Goop. Super Goop. So either Super Goop or e.l.f. And it's sunscreen, but it's tinted. So I take that and I use my One Skin moisturizer that I've used as a sponsor before. You guys know I love One Skin. So I do a little like of the One Skin mixed in with the tinted sunscreen, and I put that on my skin. And I don't, for the most part, use powder, but today I did use a highlighter stick. I will walk you guys through my bathroom one day and we'll do a whole thing. Maybe that's a Patreon episode for you. Okay, back to the show, the most random show I've ever done in my entire life. Legit. Okay, let's get into another story. Rachel Hollis is engaged. I mentioned this really fast yesterday, but do you guys recognize and do you guys care about this? I have gone down the Rachel Hollis storyline recently, like big time again, because I am so interested in Shalene Johnson's take on Rachel Hollis, her deep dive. It's 8 parts and she does it. Like, you would think you're listening to a Wondery production. Shalene, shout out, because you know you listen to this show. She's so talented. But Rachel Hollis, famed, you know, motivational speaker, author of Girl, Wash Your Face, all of those things. She is a, you know, she was married to Dave Hollis. Dave Hollis sadly passed away about a year ago. He OD'd. And she has meanwhile been in a new relationship. They divorced before he died. She's been in a new relationship with Shawn Mendes's tour manager. And his name is Kez. I'm going to show you guys a picture just so you guys can get a visual. And they are now, I mean, obviously they are the only ones that kind of watch over the kids, the 4 kids, because they have 4 kids together. She and Dave did. So she got engaged and she's holding her hand in the most insane position I've ever seen in my life. Like, I'm so confused about it, like that. Can you guys do that? Anyway, they are engaged. Now, what does this mean? This means that I am spending the next few months of my life deep diving, because there's never enough Hollis content. And I know that a lot of you guys are interested in that stuff. So I will keep you guys abreast of any new Hollis content. Let's talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills really fast. So Real Housewives of Beverly Hills has just been announced to have the highest ratings. Kyle Richards posted on her Instagram post. Well, a lot of them did, because this is something to be proud of, obviously. They have, let's see. It says, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills season 13 on track to achieve the franchise's best 35-day viewership since 2014. That is like a crazy headline. But it says it's not only achieved the highest viewership ever, but the highest of the entire Real Housewives platform. I guess that is the big deal about it, because it's more than just the fact that, you know, it's been a big viewership for Beverly Hills. For all of the Real Housewives franchises, this is like Salt Lake City. This is any of them. The first 16 episodes of season 13 averaged 4 million viewers across 35 days of Bravo and Peacock. Episodes 17 to 20 have yet to hit the 35-day mark, but perform strongly. I mean, this is truly 100%, and I hate to say it, but it's truly because of Kyla Mauricio, right? And Morgan Wade. The truth is that we were very interested in the story. Even if we didn't maybe get what we wanted out of it, we were highly invested and interested. I'm dying to know what Buying Beverly Hills' numbers are. Speaking of, tomorrow I have Michelle Schwartz on the show. Michelle Schwartz from Buying Beverly Hills. She's the girl that I went to high school with. I've known her for years, and she is definitely a little bit of Miss Villain in season 2 of Buying Beverly Hills. So I'm super excited to talk to her, because I just want to hear her side of the story. So you guys will be able to see that interview tomorrow. I can't imagine Buying Beverly Hills didn't do incredible too for Netflix, but it's clear that people were very interested in the story. So whether it was fake, true, used for press or whatever, Kyle Richards is truly, like, she's the GOAT of Real Housewives Beverly Hills, for sure, and Real Housewives in general. And no wonder Andy Cohen and Bravo, you know, kiss her ring, because they're obsessed with what she brings to the show. And I have always said this, whether or not I agree with how she has been as a housewife this last season, it doesn't matter. I still think she's an incredible housewife, and I'm highly interested in her. And if she wasn't on the show, I don't know if I would tune in so easily. So I truly still want to watch her as a housewife. I've said this a million times. And it's, I think 2 things can be true. You can be frustrated with a housewife, but also want to watch them. Okay. So meanwhile, let's keep going on to a Beverly Hills storyline that is so confusing to me. So confusing. But did you guys hear about this whole drama between Anna Marie and Crystal Minkoff? Obviously, we know that they had a weird season together. They definitely had a season that they were not getting along. They were struggling and fighting together. Okay, fine. We know this. But this is pretty insane. So if you guys remember, Anna Marie, she's been fired. She's not coming back season two. The first article that dropped that I covered this week was the fact that according to Daily Mail, it was confirmed that she was fired because she is a Trump supporter. And she has anti-trans opinions. Okay. There was no details on it. There was no confirmation, like in terms of, we didn't see any video on it or interviews on it or anything she had actually said, but this is what Daily Mail could say exclusively. Now, meanwhile, Crystal Minkoff and Anna Marie have very, very publicly feuded on the show because Crystal felt like Anna Marie threw her under the bus and said that she had an eating disorder and lied about whatever. Meanwhile, Anna Marie said that Crystal lied when Crystal said that Anna Marie claimed she was a doctor. It was a back and forth. They didn't get along. Fine. I didn't realize this was transferring into real life. Meanwhile, Anna Marie has a husband. His name is Marcellus Wiley, who's also a former athlete and actually had a pretty big platform. But right before the season aired, there was all of these allegations against him that came out about him, you know, committing some pretty heinous crimes towards women in his life. And it was never really covered. It was never really mentioned. No one really talked about it. But the husband, Marcellus, was almost not in the show. He was pretty much a non-character. Like, we saw him for 5 seconds in the house, and then we saw him on a FaceTime call with her, basically. Like, he showed up to events with her. But we never really got to know him. And I think that was pretty intentional, because I don't think Bravo wanted to bring another problematic character on their show. They have enough. And so what I think is so weird is that Marcellus now, after this article came out, has decided to come and defend his wife, which I appreciate, although everyone hates when a husband defends a housewife, right? You guys, for the most part, the audience does not enjoy when husbands defend their wives. It's so weird, but it's normal to want to defend your wife, and it's normal to want to defend your husband. However, he, in my opinion, IMO, should have kept a low profile, because this guy is not the kind of person that you want, like, you know, you don't want your history dug up when you have this kind of a background. But all about TRH, they are an Instagram account that covers Bravo stuff. It's the first that I saw that, you know, popped up on my screen. You know how all these Bravo accounts, they all cover the same stuff, but it's like whichever one you see first. So I'm going to show you theirs. So yesterday, they post this, that fired Real Housewives of Beverly Hills housewife Anna Marie Wiley's husband blasts Crystal and calls out Garcelle for being a con. Already don't like it. So this is what he writes on Twitter. Look at these BSers opening up Pandora's box. Okay, so number one is Pandora, right? Like, I don't know about you guys, but Lisa Vanderpump is pissed, right? Pandora. Crystal knows damn well my wife is not a Trump supporter, but even if she was, who the hell are you to politically police her? Crystal also knows her virtually signaling ass shouldn't be saying the word, and then he says the N-word, in videos, in parentheses, a word I don't know even use. Okay, check your grammar, dude. But she has. Worse, she doubles down on dumb by implying to my wife who she has to vote for since she's black. Hashtag Crystal Biden. And Garcielle, again, spells wrong, puts the con in confused, acts pro-black but stays hating on black women in a desperate attempt to stay fancy on a show with no blacks. Let's be real. My wife wasn't good on Housewives. I'm surprised he didn't say she was an 8.5. I'm just going to be honest. Like, why didn't he give her a number? Personally, I'm glad she's off the show. She was a horrible fit. We all saw it, and it was obvious why. It's impossible to truly know how fake you have to be to actually be a real housewife. Okay. Well, all of this is It's a lot, right? It's obviously a lot. It's very angry. It's very said in haste. I don't believe he had anyone look over it because of the spelling errors and the grammar errors. I don't think she even had a chance to look over it. I feel like he needs to calm down, right? And stop fighting for his wife, because she could easily have just come out and said, I have no idea what this article is. I'm not a supporter. She doesn't have to lie if she is a Trump supporter, but all she needed to do was come out and say, you know, it doesn't matter who I vote for, but some of these comments about me being a transphobic person, et cetera, like that is not okay with me or whatever. Like she should just, she should have defended herself. And if he wanted to defend her, like that's cool. What I don't like is like, let me defend you, but take down other women in the meantime. You clearly have a bad relationship with women, Marcellus, just saying. Like, it's a really, really bad, bad look. It's a bad look. Now, meanwhile, Anna Marie, I guess, and I didn't see this on her Instagram, so I have no idea if she deleted this, because this was posted 4 hours ago and the screenshot says 12 hours ago. So technically it would still be on her Instagram, but it said, what's up? Ask me a question. This is from her stories. And it said, what is your current friendship status with Crystal? And she says, non-existent. She's a fake, woke, pathological liar with a superiority complex. I don't do toxicity in my real life, respectfully. No idea how she continues to get away with it. Like, what? How do you really feel, Anna Marie? It's giving, I'm trying desperate to come back on the show. It's giving, like, I can't let it go. One of you guys said earlier, that it's okay. Michelle says the Wiley's recent social media activity is very reminiscent of Cameron Westcott's behavior, like that family, the Westcott behavior towards Dr. Tiffany Moon on after Real Housewives of Dallas ended. And I don't remember specifically what it was, but it's like beating a dead horse, like enough. You're off the show. I mean, you can choose whether or not you want to defend yourself, and that's fine, but like, stop coming after people. Did Crystal officially, is she the official source on this article about Anna Marie and why she was officially fired? I just can't see that being true. Either way, it does not feel like, it feels like a pretty shady situation, obviously. And I don't love it for Crystal getting involved in that. And I also really don't love Marcellus talking to women that way. I wonder if Garcelle is going to say anything. My question is Garcelle going to say, like, F you, I am not a con artist. And then I don't, and you know, I'm a white woman. So I'm reminding you like that I'm not speaking at all from a black person's perspective. What is like about a show with no blacks? Like, why are you saying that? It just feels so dividing. And I don't get it. Just saying, I don't get it. Okay. Anyway, no politics. I don't want to go down the political train, but it gets thrown into our faces with these posts. Meanwhile, did you guys hear this story that Kyle Richards has been trying to get, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I saw this on my Instagram and I posted it on my stories, and I'm kind of like, wait, what? That apparently Kyle Richards has been trying to get what's her name? Alec Baldwin's wife, Ilaria on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Yes, according to, this is People magazine, but by wig, hello, drama posted it, that Ilaria is supposed to get on, like, is pitching the idea to Alec Baldwin. Okay, we have so many issues here. But apparently this happened on Kelly Ripa's podcast, where she also said that her cast members were acting inhumane by asking questions about her marriage, which is bananas to me. Because have you seen the show? But then she says, Kelly Ripa asked who her dream castmate would be if she could cast one person. And Kyle says, I have a new one, I think. She lives in New York, but maybe she would move. I'm scared I'm going to mispronounce her name, but I think it's kind of fitting for the situation. Ilaria Baldwin. Both Kelly Ripa seemed to, and whoever else was on the show, seemed to be intrigued and said that the Baldwin family might be interested as well. The television producer shared, "They're looking for a reality show. He told us. Agreeing, Ripa added, "Wait, that's right. Wait a minute. Hang on. Alec Baldwin on this podcast said they're looking for a reality show." So Kyle says, "Well, I told him. I saw him in New York. I don't know. It was a couple of years back and I said something about it then." And then I was like, he's like, there's a lot of likes, but I'm just reading their quote. "Oh, we're living in New York, but I don't know. He said something about her in LA." And I was like, "Well, the door's open," Richard said. Then Kelly Ripa joked saying, "Jan's calling Andy right now as we speak. That would be amazing television." And that's true. In November 2023, Alec Baldwin, 65 years old, and his spouse, Ilaria, 40, were pitching a family reality show that would give an inside look on their life. Okay, here's what I'm going to say about this. I can't stand this woman, Ilaria. I can't stand her. I think she is completely a fraud. If you guys know the story, you know the fact that she has. And the reason why I'm saying Ilaria is because that's how she pronounces her name. But her name is Hillary. Okay. Hilaria, maybe. But this is a woman that has like fully indoctrinated herself into, you know, believing a different identity about herself. She was born in the United States and like she speaks with an accent. She pretends she's born in Spain. Like there is some crazy stuff. Alec Baldwin, meanwhile, is so immersed in this horrible Rust lawsuit where he's being charged with, you know, being an accessory essentially to a homicide because he accidentally murdered his cinematographer in the movie Rust because he was given a real gun. This is not a reality show I want to watch. I mean, it's a dark reality show I want to watch. Maybe this is like, you know, a Netflix docuseries, but I do not want her on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Like, I do not want to see that on my show. Because talk about like giving a platform to problematic people. For some reason, I just think that they are. And it sucks for Alec Baldwin because Alec Baldwin is such a hothead. And I feel like over the years, he's really just like gotten himself in a mess over and over through alcohol and like through rage. And like we've seen so many cases of this, but he's so talented. And if you go back to watch 30 Rock, it's like, gosh, I miss Alec Baldwin. That version of Alec Baldwin. Laura, so funny. She goes, "Call me Laura." Okay. Let's see. Mark says, "Call me Marquise." Billy says, "Call me Belicia." You guys can call me Danita. This is your daily dosa of Danita. Remember when Babbel was my sponsor and every day we had to talk about esta your daily dosa. I can't remember how to say it. Laura. I'm going to change all of your guys' names. And Kyle would definitely not be Kyle. It would be Kile. Kile. Dorit. Dorit would just be Dorit because she's already taken on a new identity. Garcelle would be the way that Marcella spelled it. Garciele. Sutton. Sutone. This is fun. Let's see. Crystal would be Cristal. Cristale. And then... who else is on that show? Erica. Erica would be like, "I'm Erica Jane. Don't fuck with my name." She would not change her name. But Anna Marie, she's already a Anna Maria. And Andy Cohen would be Andai. Something was wrong with me. I mean, like, take this moment for all my haters to say, like, something is wrong with me. It's true. I agree with you. At least I'm enjoying my life. All right. Let's move from Beverly Hills and let's go back over the hill to the valley. My peeps, my comfy place, which is here in the valley. We didn't get to talk about the show on yesterday's show, but let's talk about it. The valley gave us a good episode. I'm sorry. I like it. I'm sorry. Who says that? Jill Zarin. I'm sorry. It was a good episode. This is episode 2. Jax is Jaxing hard. One moment of Jax that just took me to a new dimension was seeing him sit in his house when Brittany's mom is in town, but like we're not seeing her. Like there was no interview. We didn't get to like have a featured moment with her. We just saw her in the background. Cruz, meanwhile, all of a sudden you hear him hysterically cry in the other room. They live in that new construction. It's basically exactly Tom and Ariana's house flipped. All of the houses look exactly the same. All those new, brand new construction shiplap houses. All of a sudden, you know, Cruz is hysterically crying. Brittany's mom runs, Cruz. Brittany's like, Cruz. And Jax is sitting there like this. What? If that's not a dad moment, I hate to say it, but I imagine a lot of us live in homes with men that are exactly the same. Or it could be the opposite, where you have a husband that's like insanely over the top protective. I do have some friends who have husbands like that too, where their kid like touches something and goes, ow, and they're like, ah, are you okay? Baby. I don't know what I like better. Do I want a husband that doesn't pay any attention or a husband that's over the top? Jax comes from the 50s father model, says Mark. That is so true. Like Jax is sitting there. He's like, I am watching. I have my paper and I'm watching my show, my sports, and I've got my beer and you handle the food and the child. And also make me a martini. So that was like one moment in the episode that I just like, it stuck with me. I'm like, that is the most Jax moment ever. Now, a couple other things that happened in this week's episode of note. Jax and Kristen have lunch. They go to this place that is near, it's called the Smokehouse. It's a mainstay. This place has been around forever. If you want one of those like really old school steakhouses and you're in the Valley, you can go. It's right across the street from Warner Brothers Studios. So I used to go there a lot when I was in casting and an agent. It's a great place to have like meetings with, you know, industry folk or whatever. It's a very big lunch spot. I don't know it as a dinner spot. I have to be 100% honest. The last time I was there, this is going to gross a lot of you guys out. Trigger warning. The last time I was in there, I found something in my salad. It was a nail clipping. I can't go back. It's done for me. I'm sorry, Smokehouse. Maybe you were just having an off day. But like, I just saw the outside of the restaurant. I was like, have you ever had that experience at a restaurant where you find something in your food and you're like, it's over. It's over for me. Like, okay, we're not going to get into it because it's so gross. But anyway, the actual place is great. Like a great vibe. So they sit there. Like, why of all places are they going there? This is not an industry lunch. It's like they're not old people. And she's vegetarian. It's so confusing to me. There's a million places in the Valley where you can go get a good salad. So they're sitting there and, you know, I'm going to say something. Crystal's, it's like she's not giving me, she's not lighting up my screen. Okay. She has a dark energy to her. And a lot of people say like that about Katie Maloney or whatever. At least Katie Maloney looks good. And I don't mean that Kristen doesn't like, isn't pretty. She just doesn't. It's like she stopped caring or something about just like her approach and her appearance. And I find her to be just, she drags me down. You know what I mean? She just like pulls me down. It's an energy vibe. For whatever reason, Jax is treating her like either someone that he's still in love with or a younger sister in terms of questioning her life choices. This may be a production thing where Alex Baskin is like, Jax, this has to happen. You need to become obsessed with Kristen's dating life and what's going on in her life and her personal journey for the show to work. And Jax is just like, I have no other choice but to do this to kind of bring Kristen into the crew. I don't know. It's not working for me. It doesn't feel authentic or real. Jax, STFU, get over who Kristen decides to hook up with, date, have kids with, etc. This obsession with him to need to like meddle into her life and her business about her boyfriends and stuff, it's not landing for me. It's feeling really fake. Like, care a little bit more about your own marriage, my friend. Right? Jax has like left Brittany off to just do her thing with her kid. And he's like worrying so much about Kristen. It doesn't make any sense to me. Now, later in that episode, Kristen goes on a hike with Luke, her boyfriend, who still feels so miscast. I understand it's really her boyfriend. I've met him in real life. He's a nice guy, but like, it just does not fit for me. He cannot, like, I can't see them together. I can't see him in Los Angeles. I cannot see him on Bravo. Like, I'm so confused by his presence. Like, he needs to go. Luke to me is really kind of like, it's giving a little bit more of like the Plath family. I don't know. It's a disconnect for me. He's got the most un-LA personality ever. I don't know if that's what I want to watch on my screen, but they're sitting there and they're having a conversation about the fact that, you know, Jax and Kristen had this conversation earlier about Jesse. That's Jax's really problematic, douchey friend doing the nipple, the purple nurple, I guess, where you take the nipple and you squeeze it. Okay. Kristen is very offended by this. Even though she did it to him first, now she's offended he did it back. My guess is that it's disgusting that he did it and wrong that he did it, but I think he was trashed. My feeling is Jesse has no memory of that day, that night, or anything of above, because I think Jesse's a drinker. He drinks in every single scene we've seen him. He drank at home in the morning. He started making mimosas. He drank, obviously, at the party with Jax. He drinks when he goes out to the bar with them. That makes more sense. But then he also drinks a beer after a daytime game of hockey. Like, this guy's constantly drinking on the show. Did you notice that? Anyway, so then, you know, Kristen complains about it to Jax, and then she talks about it to her boyfriend Luke, who immediately gets real upset. And this is also something that I'm like, look, I mean, the truth is, if I told Lance this, that some random dude that I'm not very close with did that to me, I think it would offend him too. So I guess that makes sense. I guess. I'm confused about this whole storyline, but I guess it's all just to prove that Jesse's a dick and we need Luke to have a little bit more of a storyline. I don't know. I'm not really into that side of the drama. I really want to spend time talking about Brittany and Jax's marriage. I want to watch Brittany and Jax's marriage. And I like seeing Nia and her husband, Daniel, with the babies. Nia is such a bad ass. This girl is a black belt karate, like jujitsu, like taking people down. She had this comment that she was introduced when she did the Miss USA pageant to Donald Trump when he was like, I think he was the host or he was the producer or whatever. And all of his like really rich white old men friends. And they came up to her and they touched her in a way and she like pulled them back. I freaking love Nia. I'm like, you are gold and you're a mom of like a 6 week old and you're doing that. I mean, it's amazing. So she has this, you know, I like her storyline. I want to watch her and her husband, Daniel. I want to watch Brittany and Jax, even though Jax drives me crazy. I'm not really interested in Kristen and Luke. I'm definitely not interested in their friend, the kid with the Lego hair. The one that said that he's a platinum gay and is never, is it, what's his name? What's his name? The one that's never been in and out of a vagina because he's never been in a vagina because he was delivered by C-section. Maybe it's something about the way he speaks, his voice. Like, he is annoying to me. Zach, his hair looks like a helmet. It really does. I mean, it's like crazy. He's got to be my new Sabin Robin. I need to find a good Zach hairdo. I think it's time to get back to props on my show. Like, we need to lighten the mood. It's not going to work, but does this work? Every time I want to be Zach? Let's see. No, come on. Okay, hold on. I'm a platinum gay. I've never been in and out of a vagina. I was born by C-section. Okay. I'll work on it. So We have, of course, like some filler scenes. We see Janet go to the baby store down the street from my house. This is all on Ventura. Like, if you guys want to come out to LA and I give you a tour of the valley spots. So they go there, the juvenile shop. I also went there when I was baby shopping. Insanely overpriced, by the way. Don't do it. Just like go to Babies R Us online or whatever. But she's obviously having issues like going through and trying to figure out all the baby things. It's kind of a random scene. It doesn't really need to be there. All these scenes are a little bit filler, but they're talking about how they're going to go do this girls' night. They end up going and deciding to go to, they go to Michelle's house, right? Michelle and Jesse. Michelle's married to the purple nurple, guy, Jesse. She lives by the Chateau Marmont, beautiful little, you know, bungalow style home. Apparently they're very bougie. They go to their house. The girls do, while the guys go to Two Bit Circus, which is, what you saw, which is cool. It's like an adult arcade, but you can bring kids there actually during the day. And they go downtown to the adult circus. I mean, to the adult arcade. And meanwhile, Jax has a whole plan up his sleeve. So while the girls are at girls' night with Zach and, you know, just having drinks and trying to enjoy themselves, the news comes out from Brittany to Kristen that, by the way, I just want to let you know, Jax has decided to invite your ex-boyfriend Alex to guys' night. Okay. Number one, it's a no. It's a no. If I found out that, like, my friend was inviting my ex to go out with my current, like, it's just, it's a no 100%. So I understand why Kristen got upset about it. Jax is totally meddling and tooling and trying to like start and stir up drama between Luke and Alex. And it didn't even work. Didn't you guys feel like it was kind of a flop? In fact, it didn't stir up as much drama between Luke and the ex and all of that, as much as the drama between Kristen Doty and Brittany. So Brittany was now trying to kind of stand up for Jax, which is what you do when you're married to a douche like Jax. I think that Brittany probably spends her entire days and night standing up for Jax, which is why, you know, she ended up moving out. Which, by the way, okay, this is a little bit of a side note. No, I'm going to get into Ariana in just a second. But she moved out, which is interesting, right? She moved out to an Airbnb faster than Ariana moved out to an Airbnb. And we didn't even get into the story about Ariana's dog on Vanderpump Rules because I have some thoughts. Obviously, now it's all moot because Ariana has moved or will be moving out. But I find that interesting, right? How easy it was for Brittany to just move out. Now, okay. So Jax's Studio City does this like night on Tuesday nights where they do a live, you know, come and join us for Vanderpump Valley night. I've got to go. I can't go next week, but I'll probably go the following week. Our friend Ryan Bailey, he was there. I was texting with him. I need to go to see it for myself. But someone posted on a Facebook group. I'm going to read you what they posted about this experience of going to Jax's. Okay. So went to Jax's tonight. It was wild. The bar was super quietly, awkwardly watching the new VPR. And by the way, if you watched Jax's stories of the night, he walks through the bar. I guess there's like a few different areas and it does feel awkward. Like everyone's just sitting at tables. It's like you're walking into a restaurant rather than a bar. So it did feel kind of like awkward and quiet. I'm going to have to ask Ryan how it really was. About halfway through, Jax came in and loudly announces himself, "How we all doing in here?" To which he expected thunderous applause. He got none. He kept pacing around and looked crazy-eyed. He kept going to the bathroom. At one point, okay, this is all alleged. This is not my story. This is from someone on a Facebook group, not me. Not me. He kept pacing around and looking crazy-eyed. He kept going to the bathroom. At one point, I was in the bathroom with him waiting. It's two co-ed stalls behind a separate door. I tell him he can go first. He said he didn't want to cut in line, which was nice. But when I'm washing my hands, I hear crazy snorting sounds coming from the next stall. Super sus. He was definitely, again, allegedly, not my words, just reading. He was allegedly coked out of his mind. The valley came on and the TVs got louder and the whole cast was just sitting in the middle of the outside area waiting to be photographed, including Brittany, who looked lovely, but I didn't see her interact with Jax at all. Also, Mima's beer cheese was not good. That's not good. That's not a good thing, right? Okay. I'll make sure to eat before I go. Ariana got herself a new gig. You guys saw that. Ariana is now the host of Love Island. Sarah Hyland, who was the star of Modern Family, one of the daughters on Modern Family, also married to Wells Adams from Bachelor in Paradise. Sarah was let go. Apparently, she has a conflict, so hopefully it's not going to be, you know, it's not like a real hard loss for her. But she was let go and replaced with Ariana. Ariana will now be the host of the next season of Love Island. Everyone is like, this is so amazing. This is so amazing. I'm excited for her. And I do think this is so amazing. What I'm a little worried about is, well, actually, I imagine that this will just lead to different things. But I would love to like sit down with Ariana and be like, what's the goal here for you? If I was like her career person, right? I would say, what is the goal? Are we trying to be an actor? Do you want to be on screen like as an actor, or do you like the hosting thing? Because I felt like after Chicago, she could go right into acting. Because clearly she knows how to act. Clearly she knows how to sing. She knows how to dance. I'm like, she can literally become a star of a new TV show. So the hosting thing is a little interesting to me. I think it's a great move. I don't watch Love Island, but I think it's a great move for her. And obviously she's going to continue to make bank. But I do think that part is interesting. Now, in terms of the dog, here are my thoughts on Maya, the dog eating the takeout food and the laxatives or something. I don't even know. In Ariana's room. Ariana was very upset at the end of Vanderpump Rules because she said that Tom Sandoval let Maya into her bathroom where she got access to all this food or whatever, and she got very, very sick. And it's costing $6,000. Okay, two things about this. I have a dog that will eat anything and everything that's let out. I'm talking food products and also non-food products. Mike, I have a dog that will literally eat through, like, if I left this on the ground, my dog would find a way to chew this up and, like, ingest it. There are certain dogs that just are weird when it comes to that stuff. But surely if I had any sort of food product in any room of my house that was accessible to my dog, it would be gone. Like if Oliver leaves his food, his pasta bowl on the coffee table and runs to the bathroom for like a few minutes and comes back, like Murphy's eaten that food. When you have a dog like that, you really have to be super careful about what you leave in arm's reach. I don't personally know why Ariana was leaving any sort of food out in their bedroom, on the counter, anywhere. Like, that is confusing to me. Number two, I'm confused about, well, I guess that's number one and number two and number three. But also, if you don't trust Tom at all to be around your pets, then like that may be the moment that you decide to get the F out of that house. I really just don't get this. And I don't want you guys to think this is anti-Ariana, but I'm just thinking like, if you are scared to leave your home because of the way that your animals or your kids or anything of yours will be treated, it may be really time to say, like, this is not a safe place for Maya to be. Maya the dog should also not be trapped in a bedroom. This is like a big dog. I don't know. I'm just like, it's not aligning for me. So accidents happen, by the way. Like if my husband was mad at me every single time that Murphy chewed up a shoe, I would lose my shit. Like we don't control the dogs and what they're eating at all times. We just have to try our hardest to keep it out of arm's reach, you know? Oh, Michelle says she was putting down offers on houses for 8 months, which is 100% possible. It is 100% possible that she was having a hard time getting into a new house because the LA market is crazy. You could also find a place to stay in the meantime. I don't know. Also, yeah, the laxative story. I was so confused. I'm more concerned with the 500 laxatives. Who has 500 laxatives? Are we talking about literally like laxatives? Or are we talking about like magnesium that helps you more, get more regular? Like I have so many interesting, just so interested by this. Yeah, a lot of you guys have dogs that eat out of the garbage can, et cetera. Wonder Woman says, why is it always Ariana needing to move? Because she has a very, very stubborn roommate who's not going anywhere. So if you, like, Brittany left the house with Jax because Jax probably said, I'm not going anywhere. This is my house. I want to stay. But Brittany said, well, I don't want to be in the house, and I'm just making this up. I don't want to be in the same house as you because I don't trust you. I don't like you. I don't want you around Cruz. I don't think you're doing A, B, and C. So I'm getting my ass up and taking my son out of here. Brittany also lives in that home. No one's like judging Brittany for leaving the house, right? I think it's like a power move to say, F you, I'm out of here. Just saying. I don't think that that's like such a dog on the woman to leave. Okay. All right. Let's get into, okay, so legal, there may be legal applications. Yeah. I mean, who implications? Yes. Thank you, Mark. I have no idea. I'm just thinking, like, if it's coming to the point where you're spending $6,000 because the person that you live with is allowing your dog to eat leftover chicken, I don't even know the story, you may want to start to reevaluate your life choices of is it worth staying there? Or maybe put your dog in a get your dog boarded every day, or like send them to a dog sitter every day that you're not home. Just saying. Okay. I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you so much for being here. I understand that things I talk about are controversial, so I get that a lot of you guys are not going to agree with my opinions. I am one in millions of people that talk about these things, but I enjoy talking about it. Thank you guys so much for being here. I will talk to you guys tomorrow. I appreciate you all. See ya mañana. Bye.
Hey guys, time to get in on the action for the biggest moments in basketball with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projections, place your entry, and win up to 100 times your money. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit of up to $100. Just download the Prize Picks app and use the code GET100. That's code GET100 on Prize Picks for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.